I'm Jackie Howard. An Alabama teen steps up when his father allegedly tries to hurt a woman in their home. According to police reports, Daniel Hernandez Lopez, 32, and the victim had an argument. Hernandez Lopez then tries to strangle the woman. But then his 13-year-old son intervenes. The man heads outside, lunging at the boy, swinging a bicycle, trying to hit him. The teen responds with several punches of his own, knocking Hernandez Lopez out cold. Police are called and they find the suspect unconscious in the front yard. Hernandez Lopez is arrested, charged with domestic violence strangulation. The mugshot showing his bloody and swollen eyes, lips, and face. According to the sheriff's office, alcohol was involved. More crime and justice news after this.
I'm Jennifer Gould. A twisted tale of extramarital lust and medical-grade butchery has culminated in the arrest of a Hialeah, Florida nurse accused of the savage October 2024 slaying of his secret lover inside her husband's SUV. Renee Perez, 38, allegedly transformed a Chevrolet Tahoe into a makeshift love nest for a belated birthday rendezvous before unleashing a frenzy of violence that left 35-year-old Linda Campitelli, a fellow nurse and mother of two, unrecognizable and pulverized. Campitelli's mom, Edna Russo, spoke to WPTV after the arrest.
He's where he belongs. Now we let the judicial system do its job.
The scene discovered on the dark shoulder of Lyons Road in Wellington was a vision of pure carnage. Campitelli's body was found lying in a massive pool of blood, her skull fractured and ribs shattered from what investigators describe as blunt force trauma to her head and torso, so severe that blood permeated the vehicle's rear speakers. Most hauntingly, the back portions of her black heels were, quote, completely worn down, disfigured, and distorted, end quote, the result of her lifeless body being forcibly dragged behind the Tahoe until the pavement ground through her shoes and into her flesh. The setup for the slaughter was as calculated as it was grotesque. The day before the meeting, a hesitant Campitelli texted Perez, quote, I love you. I feel kind of weird. I don't know what to expect tomorrow. You've never done anything like this for me before, and I feel a little nervous, end quote. Perez's response was a masterclass in deception, writing, quote, LOL, it's no big deal. Just trying to show you that I can be romantic, end quote. A photo recovered from the victim's phone, taken just minutes before the attack, showed the Tahoe's rear seats folded flat and covered in Ultrasorb medical sheets stolen from Perez's workplace. A celebratory blanket taped to the ceiling read, quote, Happy birthday. Hope your birthday is out of this world, end quote. A sentiment that turned into a death sentence. Campitelli, who'd been married to her doctor husband, John, since 2016, had been leading a double life for 2 years, entangled in an affair that her husband was completely blind to. In fact, on the night she was slaughtered, she told him she was heading out for a girl's night, a girl's dinner. Despite Perez's claims of a canceled meeting and a lost phone, a 17-month investigation utilized DNA, cell phone data, and surveillance footage to dismantle his alibi. Perez was hauled into the Palm Beach County Jail, where he is now held without bond. The disgraced nurse faces the ultimate price for his depravity as prosecutors pursue first-degree murder charges that carry the death penalty. He's due back in court on April 9th. The motive for the slaughter is a mystery.
I'm Drew Nelson. A 9-year-old Detroit student says a substitute teacher hit him and ordered other students to attack him inside a classroom on the city's west side, leaving him injured and afraid to return to school. Siante Fleming is a fourth grader at Robert Burns Elementary Middle School. He says the incident happened Friday morning after the substitute teacher warned him to stay seated and off a computer.
She said if I get it one more time, she's going to get the kids to jump.
Siante tells WXYZ the situation quickly escalated with the sub joining in.
Her hit just hurts, and that's what hurt it. So that's what made me sad. And then the kids was choking me until my face was red.
Mom Jaychelle Warfield says she did not learn about the incident until her son stepped off the school bus that afternoon.
Mom, Siante got hit today. Siante got hit by a teacher. I say, who?
Warfield says another parent later confirmed what happened.
My old neighbor called me, and her children just started there 2 weeks ago. And she said her children came home and told her, Mom, a little boy got punched by a teacher today, and three kids was holding him and pinning him down.
Warfield says the alleged attack left her son with a black eye, cuts to his face, and a concussion. She says the injuries are especially alarming because Siante has a history of seizures. Officials with Detroit Public Schools Community District say the substitute teacher has been placed on administrative leave while the case is investigated. The district says the teacher cannot accept substitute assignments at any school during the investigation and that any findings will be referred to law enforcement. Siante has not returned to school since the incident. His mother says she is working to enroll him somewhere else while the investigation continues.
I'm Nicole Parton. A 16-year-old girl who had been reported missing in North Carolina was located during a traffic stop in Florida. This according to the Putnam County Sheriff's Office. According to a deputy, he observed a car speeding on South US 17. While the car slowed down, the deputy decided to pull it over after determining it was exceeding the speed limit. Upon approaching the car, the deputy interacted with both the driver and the passenger, who provided inconsistent information regarding her name and date of birth, raising concerns for her safety. The driver, identified as 37-year-old Joshua McGrath, claimed the girl was his cousin. However, the passenger repeatedly gave different dates of birth and aliases, prompting the deputy to take precautionary measures. Once the girl was placed in the patrol car, the girl revealed her true identity, which led police to discover that she had been reported missing from North Carolina a month earlier. The authorities contacted the girl's mother, who confirmed that she had filed a missing persons report on February 16 and was unfamiliar with McGrath. When questioned about his relationship with the teen, McGrath altered his initial statement, now referring to her as his 16-year-old friend. Take a listen.
Sir, that's my little cousin.
That's your cousin?
Yes, sir.
What, 16?
Yes, sir.
What's your name, young lady?
Huh?
Your name?
Huh?
Your name?
My name is
Brandy
Lewis.
Brandy Lewis? Right. The name and the information you gave me doesn't come back to anything. What's that young lady to you?
That's my friend.
That's your friend?
I met her in Charlotte.
In Charlotte. How old are you? You're 37, and you're friends with a 16-year-old girl? Yeah, she gave me like three different names, three birthdays. So where were you guys headed to?
Right now?
Yeah.
Orlando.
Orlando.
Yes, sir.
What's in Orlando?
Hopefully some arcade.
When asked why he was with a minor, McGrath claimed he believed the girl was 19. He further stated that he was in Florida to participate in some gambling games. During a search of the car, deputies discovered 19 counterfeit $100 bills, synthetic marijuana, and drug paraphernalia. The sheriff's office reported that they coordinated with the Department of Children and Family Services to ensure the girl's safe custody and return to her mother. McGrath was arrested on several charges, including interference with child custody, possession of marijuana, possession of counterfeit currency, contributing to the delinquency of a minor, and possession of drug paraphernalia. He was booked into the Putnam County Jail with a bond set at $9,000. The investigation remains ongoing, according to the Putnam County Sheriff's Office. In Kentucky, the state police are searching for a missing woman who has been missing since February. Officials say troopers received a missing person report on February 23 for a 50-year-old woman, Teresa Reeves. According to investigators, Reeves was last seen on February 14 at Bezos Bar on South Horde Street in Grayson. Witnesses told authorities Reeves was wearing a pink shirt when she was last seen. Police say she does not have a cell phone or any personal belongings with her. Anyone with information about Reeves' whereabouts is asked to contact the Kentucky State Police or immediately dial 911. And for the latest crime and justice news, follow Crime Alert Hourly Update on your favorite podcasting app. With this Crime Alert, I'm Nicole Parton.
This is an iHeart podcast, guaranteed human.